Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord together. Lord Jesus, I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. Lord Jesus, I'm here for you, Lord, to speak to my heart. Let's entertain his presence, church. Oh, Lord Jesus, speak to us tonight, God. Speak to our hearts, our minds, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. While you're standing, if you would turn to the book of Isaiah, hallelujah, chapter 49. Hallelujah. I was bribed during greeting of the guests that if I kept it short, that I would have dinner bought for me. Won't mention who it was. Name starts with a W, ends with L's. But so I'm hoping to meet that, but Lord bless this individual. We'll have a Bible study this Wednesday on bribing, what the Bible says about bribing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 49, and we are going to start in verse, actually just read one verse, 49 verse 15. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, God remembers. God remembers. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight in this place. Lord, we thank you so much for the presence that we feel, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts, God. Speak to our minds, Lord Jesus. God, I pray this thought, Lord Jesus, that we would walk away encouraged, strengthened, Lord Jesus, God, in you, in your word, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. This weekend we celebrate two important days. It's already been mentioned this morning and this evening. On the secular side of things, tomorrow is Memorial Day. In every nation's history, there are those who fought for its sovereignty, those who died fighting for their country. After our Civil War in the 1860s, Decoration Day was established where the graves of veterans were decorated with flowers, but it wasn't until 1971 that Memorial Day was declared a national holiday and placed on the last Monday in May. Memorial Day is often seen as the official kickoff to summer, the weekend that area pools opened. Great day for swimming today. Folks gather in their backyards to grill out, or here locally we may go down to Bratfest and eat a brat or two or three or four. However, its intent was not to provide a vacation day for the masses, but a time to honor and recognize the heroes of this great nation who gave the ultimate sacrifice for something much bigger than themselves, for the freedom of our country. There will be wreath-laying ceremonies, parades, speeches, 21-gun salutes, moments of silence at 3 p.m. local time tomorrow, and perhaps the playing of taps on the bugle. As a country, we will recognize, honor, and remember those who served and died in our armed forces. This weekend, a hashtag that will probably be trending by the end of tomorrow is hashtag never forgotten, or hashtag never forget. It is a day to remember. On the spiritual side of things, today is what is known as the Day of Pentecost, as was mentioned earlier. Pastor briefly mentioned it this morning, but to the Jew it was and still is a festival commemorating when the law was given by God to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. It also occurred at the end of the wheat harvest. And so God gave specific instructions in regards to what is known as the Festival of Weeks. It was one of three feasts where God commanded the Jews to make a pilgrimage. And during this one, they were to give their thanksgiving offerings of new grain to the Lord, and it reminded them to keep the law of God in their hearts and minds. Later on in the Bible, we know about the Day of Pentecost as the day when the Holy Ghost was first poured out on the 120 folks in the upper room. It was the day that the New Testament church was born, and today we celebrate that, and it's a reminder of our heritage as apostolics. And whether a Jew or a Christian, Pentecost Sunday is a day to remember. Why was God so adamant about having the Day of Pentecost and many other festivals where his chosen people would celebrate what God had done for them and as a reminder? Why in a secular culture do we do the same thing where we have days like Memorial Day where we remember those who gave our lives for our freedom? I believe it's because of our tendency to forget. Though we may tweet out hashtag never forgotten on a day-to-day basis, some of these things we do easily forget about. This past fall, I went to Greece, which is the country I was born. I was born as a missionary kid, and on that Saturday, we took the bus to Kephissia, which is a suburb of Athens, and where we lived as kids, our house is there. And the whole way up there, my folks were pointing things out, and Laura, my sister, and Joel, my brother, were like, oh, remember that. But for me, nothing seemed familiar. We got to Kephissia, where I hung out as a kid, and we're walking around the like kind of downtown little area square, and again, I didn't really recognize things. Oh, this is that place. This is where we used to do this. And then I'm just like, you know, I don't remember. It wasn't until we got to the actual street, the actual house that we lived in that, I recognize something. That's the house we lived in. Of course, I was, you know, 10 years old and younger, so I didn't really care as a kid, but I didn't remember things. As humans, we forget a lot of things. Oh, I remember the bare bottom spanking I got when I lied for the very first time. Oh, glory. I remember as a kid watering down our patio and sliding bare chested. Why? Because I got stung by a bee that day. I remember going into my parents' room, seeing on their dresser the little nice, you know, they have those mirror round things where they set like things on perfumes and stuff. And I remember taking every one of those perfume bottles, don't ask me why, going to the window and dumping them out the window. I remember because that day I too got a spanking. Glory, spare not the mother's hand on the bare bottom. I think that's scriptural. But day to day, week to week, normal life, my surroundings, I don't remember a whole lot as a kid. And even when I first came to Wisconsin, there's things I hung out with the folks in the church and young adults, and I don't, they're like, hey, I remember this. And I'm like, must not have been memorable. I don't have a good memory. And I think as a culture, as a people, as humans, we do forget things. I think that's the norm. Unless you have a loved one who was in the armed forces that was killed, or maybe you fought alongside someone who died, this weekend might be the only time of year you think about and are thankful for the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform. How many other days of the year do people post on Facebook thankful for the sacrifice? I know I don't, just to be honest. You know, why? I haven't had firsthand exposure, so I don't often think about it. Comes to the weekend, I'm like, man, I'm so thankful for this country and the men and women who fought for my freedom. But we do forget. And so we look at this concept of remembering things or the tendency to be forgetful of things. And in our interaction with God, we can too easily assign that same trait onto him. Since we forget and we're made in his image, then God must be also forgetful. He must not remember us. This seems true when we face circumstances in life. We face hard situations. We have struggles. We may ask ourselves, does God remember me? You may be sitting here on a weekend. We are supposed to be remembering others, remembering our heritage, our heroes, the sacrifice, yet feel in your heart that you wish God would remember you. You may be feeling that God has forgotten all about you. I'm here tonight to tell you that God is not human, he is God. And God remembers you. God remembers you. He doesn't need a nationally recognized holiday to remember you. He doesn't need a church-ordained festival to remember you. He doesn't need a post-it note on his computer to remember your name. What was that guy? Yeah. He doesn't need a reminder on his phone that pops up and says, oh, don't forget about Phil today. Remember that crazy guy who likes Legos? Yeah, that's him. Remember? Oh, that's his picture. Okay. Yeah, that's right. We may be living in a crazy, busy culture where details escape us because all the input that we're taking in, but God remembers. Luke 12:8 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's how much, how concerned he is about you, how invested in you that he is. He knows the numbers of hair. He comes in and like, oh, there's Phil. He's got, you know, 3,000 plus hairs. And then he's like, oh, there, yeah, he doesn't have so many. And I warned him that. Thank you, Brother Thomas. I love you. You can have my free meal if I go short. But we need to be reminded this weekend that God remembers. What are some of the things that God remembers? First and most precious on this Pentecost Sunday is that God remembers that we are human. Psalms 78, verses 38 and 39, it says, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. The scope of eternity, God remembers that, you know what? I created this, my creation, they're human. They are going to make mistakes. Psalms 103, 13 and 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Thank God that he remembers that we are but human. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of that sin that we all have done, the wages, what we earn for that sin is death, a spiritual eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why Pentecost Sunday is a significance to us, because it was the day that the way out of this inescapable eternal death came to fruition. There was a way to live eternally forever with Jesus Christ and not live and die in our sins. On Pentecost Sunday, the people cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do, after the message by Peter? And Peter's response in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. From the beginning, God created us with a choice. And after Adam and Eve made the choice to sin, all of us have been born with a propensity to sin. It's in our nature. That's why all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God remembers that, and he has given us a way out so that we can have eternal life through him. It reminds me of the story found in John 8 where the scribes and the Pharisees, they come to Jesus with a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Throw her before him, and the penalty of the law of that sin is stoning them to death. And it was a test of Jesus, and they're like, hey, what are you going to do with her? Give us the word, we'll stone her. And I love how Jesus, just with his mercy and grace, just says, well, whoever hasn't sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone. And then he knelt down and, you know, kind of dabbled in the sand and looked up, and everyone's gone. Everyone had walked away. And he extended that mercy and grace. He remembers we're human, and mercy is the withholding of judgment for our sin, which, again, let me reiterate, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But with each sin, there is judgment, but mercy is the withholding of judgment. And then the word grace is two definitions: of God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but he gives us favor. Favor also means in other areas the divine leading of the heart. As we're living life, he divinely leads us into truth, into greater knowledge of him. And so his mercy and his grace, he extends. Why? Because he remembers we're human. So maybe you're in a place right now that there's no way that I'm going to make anything with my life. I'm hopeless. There's no future for me. It's all messed up. Family's messed up. There's no hope for my family. It's way beyond control. Maybe it's finances. There's no way I'm going to get out of this pit of debt. Or maybe it's another arena, a bondage, a situation where you're bound and controlled by sin. There's no way. I'm here to tell you that God remembers that you were human. God remembers that he created us with a propensity to sin, and he will extend mercy and grace to us tonight. A note of caution, though. You often hear the phrase, I'm only human. Well, what can I say? I'm only human. You know, I make mistakes. That can become a cop-out. Yes, we are human, but it can become a cop-out to not changing. I've heard it all the time. Like, well, that's just my personality. I just tell it like it is. Well, bless God. Maybe God wants to shape you and mold you into something that's sweet and sensitive and watches what they say. Glory. God doesn't remember that. Well, God doesn't remember that we're human and that we make mistakes sometimes so that we can just live our lives the way we want to with, well, I'm human. God remembers I'm a human mentality. Romans 6:15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Should we just keep on sinning because, hey, unmerited favor, don't deserve it. Might as well just keep sinning. God's grace, awesome. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to change. Going to heaven, he's awesome. It's not how it works. Just because God's grace is so wonderful doesn't mean we should go on sinning. What was Jesus' final words to the woman caught in adultery? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. It wasn't like, hey, well, I guess no one's going to carry out the stoning of you, so sweet, you're off the hook. No, it was like, hey, you're human. Now go and sin no more. Start to change your life and start going a different direction. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that he remembers we are human. But help us, Lord, to go and sin no more, to change our lives. God remembers also our prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, some of the scriptures just showing the scripture and how it exhorts us to pray, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. There's power in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Throughout Scripture, we are exhorted, admonished, and challenged to pray. We see story and story of folks who cried out to the Lord in prayer, and he heard their cry, moved on their behalf. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God remembers your prayers. Why? Because you may be sitting here having prayed for years and years and still not seen an answer to that prayer. Maybe it's been weeks of unemployment, weeks of marital issues. Maybe it's been months of infertility. Know that firsthand. Maybe years of praying for a loved one who doesn't know the Lord or who turned their back on God. And you sit here and may feel, God has forgotten about my prayers. I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. You may feel like the children of Israel. God had called the Israelites as his chosen people. He called them and they were the ones he was going to bless. He was going to take them to a promised land. And where do they end up? As slaves in Egypt. Kind of contradictory. God, hello. Promised land, not slavery. As slaves they were for 400 years. Not 4 years, not 40 years, but 400 years. So can you imagine after generation, 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 now you're the great, 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 great grandchild of the guy who heard firsthand from Abraham, like, hey, we're going to be, you know, chosen people, and God's going to bless us, and you're like, okay, all I've known all my life is slavery. And you pray, and like, God, supposedly there's something out there, but... And they pray and pray and pray. And 400 years. I can't even fathom 400 years. Praying. You feel that they felt God had abandoned them? Had forgotten all about them? That promise of a distant land was just maybe a fairy tale than actual reality. Well, yeah, Grandpa prayed for it. Yeah, Dad prayed for it. I don't know if I should pray for this because it's not going to happen. But they prayed. They prayed. They prayed. Exodus 2:23, 25, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They're so weary, so frustrated, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Why 400 years? I don't know. We may never know, but in the process of time, it wasn't like God was like, oh, that's right. I should have set my phone reminder for like 395 years earlier. Oops. God had a timing and a reason for everything. Yet they kept praying. They kept praying. And finally one day God's like, haha, it's time now. And he moved. And we know the rest of the story. They get out of Egypt. He remembered their prayers that went on for decades and decades. Maybe you just want more of God tonight, or you feel like you're in the same place that you were last year or 5 years ago, and you want to break out. Your prayer is more of God, more of his glory in your life, in your family, a greater ministry, a greater impact in this world. Maybe you feel like Cornelius. Acts 10:1, the story says a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man. He loved God. He prayed. A one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And we looked on him. He was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. He had prayed so much, it was just bigger and bigger and bigger. Think Memorial Day, we remember, and God's just seen it grow and grow and grow. And then again, in the process of time, Acts 10, 31, 32, he's retelling Peter the story of how God had spoken to him and coming to him in a vision. And he said, God said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged, et cetera, et cetera. Go get this specific person. It's time. Cornelius was a devout man. I imagine that he had been praying and praying for more of God, to better know him, to have God be more personal, more real in his life than ever before. The prayers of Cornelius created that memorial. God couldn't help but see his prayers stacking up, creating that memorial. And when the fullness of time came, why this moment? We don't know. But God finally spoke and said, go get Peter. And at the same time, he's talking to Peter in a vision and saying, someone's going to come get you. You need to go there. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And what happened? He goes, he preaches. Cornelius, his whole family has their Pentecostal experience. Have you been praying? Have you been crying out to God? Are you wanting more of him? And you have not gotten your answer? I think of the old gospel song, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Exactly. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. That's right, Brother Julius. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. God remembers our prayers. He's not ignoring you. Maybe he's just working something more in you, dealing with you in a little greater way. Maybe he's allowing circumstances to be a great thing where your whole household is saved. God remembers our prayers. God also remembers his promises to us. As we wait for the call that we've been selected as adoptive parents, we're on the wait list, and as I get closer to being a father, all those observations I've had of other parents and over the years, the tidbits of advice, folks who are like, don't do that, do that, you know, and this is what you need to do, and God bless all the advice, and I try to remember as it gets closer, and I have bad memory, so all your advice, sorry if I don't follow it, but one of them I've observed, and folks have said, if you're going to promise something to your kid, you need to follow up. If you're going to say, I'm going to give you a spanking when you get at home, and you're at church, it'd probably be a good idea when you got home to spank the child. Else they'll be like, ha ha, got away with it. Boom. Thank you, Jesus, for church. They didn't want to spank me in the church bathroom. Now, your kids won't remind you of that promise, But if you promise, like, hey, we'll get ice cream, not right now, but tomorrow we'll get ice cream, you'll be sure to get a reminder, I'm sure. You said yesterday we'll get ice cream today. Our Heavenly Father doesn't forget his promises. He'll don't have this, but he'll spank us if we're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. He'll bless us. He remembers his promises to us. We mentioned the children of Israel earlier. So fast forward a little bit. They're delivered from Egypt. They're finally gotten to the promised land. And God makes a covenant. He makes a promise with the children of Israel. We find it in it's in Deuteronomy, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy 28, a description of what the result will be if they follow his commandments. 28, verse 1 and 2 says, "It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." It goes on, your fields are going to bless, you're going to have great crops, your livestock is just going to go out of bounds, your enemies, you're going to have victory over them, and on, blessings, blessing, blessing. And it's just like, whoa, that's what I want to live in. And then he gives the flip side later on in verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And he lists all the curses. Your fields won't have grain. Your livestock's going to die. The enemies are going to come and take over. You're going to be taken and scattered throughout the earth. And so what happened with them? Bible, Old Testament, it's a partly history book about the children of Israel. And we see them start to turn away from God. The nation of Israel splits into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. Over time, they have good kings who love the Lord, who serve the Lord, who led the people in serving God, and they were blessed. And there were kings that served other gods, did abominable things that in the sight of God, and the curses of God came upon them. So Israel started off blessed, just as promised in Deuteronomy 28. They were doing right. They were living for the Lord. And then it's like God knew what was going to happen, and sure enough, they began to be cursed. Why? Because they weren't following God's instruction anymore. They said, "We can do it. We got it. We got it handled. We're doing our own thing," which led to sin. Why? Because we have a propensity to sin. We're going to naturally go off if we're not seeking after the Lord. Another whole Bible study. But eventually, as promised, because of their continual sin, the majority of them were killed, or they were taken as slaves back to the homeland of their enemy, Babylon, etc., leaving a very small remnant left in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. The temple was destroyed. The city walls were destroyed. The people were scattered, serving, being slaves and servants in other countries. It's a horrible time in the history of the Israelites. Isaiah 49, 14, 16 is a prophet kind of expounding on this, and says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me," Jerusalem, the people, "the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." God is still reiterating, "I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." God hadn't forgotten them. They were just facing the ramifications of their decision making. It was the covenant consequence of their disobedience, and God had to let them face those consequences head on. So if your life's the pits and you feel like you've been taken to bondage, everything's been destroyed, maybe you're facing and you're like, "God's forgotten about." No, maybe he's just letting you face some consequences, natural consequences of sin, of poor decision making, of not living for him. But let's back up. In Deuteronomy 28, God tells them about the blessings if they follow him, and tells them about the curses in the rest of 28 and 29 if they don't follow him. But at the end of the covenant, in Deuteronomy 30, it goes like this. It's almost as if he knew what they were going to do and wanted to give one final hope. Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 5. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse." So it's going to come, the blessing and the curse, "which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind upon all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee." So I'm going to drive you out. It's going to scatter you. "But if you shall return unto the Lord thy God and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul," goes on and on, "I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to start that blessing flow once again. And so again, you're going to be blessed if you do this. You're going to be cursed if you do this. And if you come back after that cursing and you say, you know what? All right, God, we're going to live with you. I'm going to reinstate you, so to speak. So fast forward, once again, they're scattered. They're everywhere. They felt like God had completely forsaken them. One Israelite is living in Shushan or Susa, which is part of the Babylonian Empire. It's where the city that Esther, the story of Esther took place. And it's Nehemiah. And in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, he is the cupbearer for the king. He's a servant of the king as an Israelite. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. So they had come visiting from, they were the remnant left there. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. What's going on over there? And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes be open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. Hear my prayer, God, which I'm praying before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, without the commandments of the servant Moses. More, remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest the servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you. Remember, God, what you said in your covenant. You're going to scatter us, but you also said, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. And what happens? He asks for favor. He goes before the king as a cupbearer's servant, says, you know what? I'm concerned about my people. And the king writes a royal decree. And why? Because God remembers his promises. That if someone, after all the blessings and then the subsequent curses, turning away from God, scattered, you think, you know what? I'm done with these people. No, God remembered his promise that if someone would turn back to me, that I'm going to return them to Jerusalem. If you obey my voice with all your heart, with all your soul, I will have compassion and gather you back. And what happens? That's what happens. They go back. They build the wall. It's a great story, Nehemiah. You should read it. But God's promises, he remembers those. And so what promise in God's word are you holding on to? Probably not scattered and serving a foreign king, and none of us are in that boat. But what have we banked on? There's thousands of promises in the Bible. Is it, I will never leave you or forsake you? Is it, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee? Is it the promise, if the Son is therefore made you free, you will be free indeed? Is it, are you banking on the promise, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Is it the promise, resist the devil, he will flee from you? Is it the promise, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee? Is it, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse and prove me herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? Is that the promise you're banking on? Is it trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and he will direct our paths? There are promises after promises in God's word. There are promises about every part of our lives, from our financial to our jobs, to our families, to our marriages, to our ministries. And sometimes we can look at that and say, it's not happening in my life. I've been paying my tithes, God, and I have still not gotten a job. I don't know where I'm paying tithes from if I don't have a job. But anyways, that example is bad. But you get what I'm saying. God, I've been asking you in the day of trouble, and Lord, I haven't seen any help in my life. God, I've been trusting you with all my heart, but I don't know if the direction I'm taking is the right path. If you really are directing me, God, there's confusion here. You may be sitting here and feeling, I've been holding on to Scripture, but I haven't seen it come to pass. I'm here to tell you that God remembers his promises to us. God remembers his promises to us. The musicians can come. I want to encourage us tonight. God remembers. God remembers that we are human. God remembers our prayers. God remembers his promises to us that he's made to us. And as you stand in response, our action must be continued faithfulness. Continued commitment to him. Maybe it's recommitment to him, or maybe it's a first-time commitment. If your life is messed up and you're in your humanity living in sin, God knows that. But like I said, he says, come and sin no more. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can have your Pentecostal experience, getting the power, as was talked about this morning, that will help you and guide you and lead you and direct you away from sin. Our action must be one more prayer. If you've been praying for years and years and years and years, like, God, why have my child not come back to the Lord? Why has this situation not changed? Why is my marriage still struggling? Our action needs to be one more prayer. One more prayer. Why? Because God remembers my prayers. God remembers my prayer. One more paying of my tithes. You know, God, I don't understand why things haven't opened up, why a raise hasn't come or a transition into a better job. But God, I'm going to pay my tithes. God, I'm going to give offerings. Why? Because your word says it's a promise, God, and I'm going to bank on it. Yeah, I don't understand why. But one more time, God, one more time I'm going to give to you. One more time, I'm going to pray to come get healed. Why? Because the scripture says the prayers of the elders, let them lay hands and they'll be healed. And God, I don't understand why I haven't. I don't understand if there's been a change. But God, one more time, I'm going to believe for your healing. One more time, I'm going to come to you from prayer. One more time, I'm going to invest into someone. Yeah, people have rejected my message. People have rejected my testimony. But one more time, God, I'm going to invest. Why? Because, Lord, you want us to reach into this in the harvest, Lord. One more time, I'm going to call on your name. One more time, I'm going to call out to you. One more time, I'm going to surrender all, God. Maybe I don't understand why my prayers aren't being heard. Maybe there's something in me, but God, one more time, there's that promise, God. You hear my prayers. You remember me, God. One more time, I'm going to come to you. One more time, I'm going to do the things your way and not my way, God. God will remember. God will remember our prayers. God will remember his promises. We just have to keep on the course. Keep staying the course. Keep on being faithful. Keep on being committed. Keep on believing and trusting in the Lord. Keep on trusting. Yeah, you may not see that you're on his path, but he gives you one step. Maybe that's your action. Okay, God, I don't know where I'm 2 miles down the road, but one step I can see. I'll take that step. Okay, God, I'm here. I still don't see where I'm going, but okay. One more step, God, I'm going to trust in you. One more step, I'm going to trust in you. One more step, I'm going to believe in you. Be encouraged. God remembers you, where you're at. You feel like he's forgotten you. I'm here to remind you, God remembers you. And I want to encourage you to come to this front area and pray. Take that action. Take that next step. Take that one more action of commitment, of faithfulness, of belief. Praying that prayer one more time. My son's going to come home. My prodigal daughter's going to come home. My uncle, my aunt, they're going to see salvation.